Welcome to Season 8, Episode 1 of the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Soaker. In this new season, we're going to be discussing the topic of the Scriptures. And in today's episode, we're going to be talking about the Bible itself. As always, we're going to be focusing on what the Bible has to say about this topic. So I invite you to test all things in light of what the Scriptures teach. Let's get started. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time. And in reality, when you look at the Bible, you're looking at a collection of books. There are 39 books in the Old Testament containing law, history, poetry, prophecy. 27 books in the New Testament containing the four Gospels that record the life of Christ. The book of Acts, which is a history of the early church and the spread of the gospel. And letters to churches and individual Christians. It tells of God's great scheme of redemption to save man from his sins. Is the Bible just another book? Or is the Bible something more? It's important that we understand what the Bible is. So in this episode, we're going to be discussing six characteristics of the Bible. Number one, the Bible is unique. The Bible is different from every other book that has ever been written. It was written over a period of 1,500 years by 40 different authors in three different languages. Despite this, it is not a disjointed collection of unrelated writings. It has one continuous theme that runs throughout. And not only that, but despite the diversity in authors and gaps of time in writing, there are no contradictions. How is that even possible? Well, even with many people making efforts to find errors and contradictions in the Bible, there are none. The supposed contradictions can all be explained when we consider the context. Compare this with another supposedly divinely revealed religious text, the Quran. It seems as though the ones who recorded the Quran knew that there were or would be contradictions in their work and had to find some way to explain them away. So they provided a loophole to explain any possible contradiction, what's called the law of abrogation. In Quran chapter 2, verse 106, it says, "Whatever communications we abrogate or cause to be forgotten, we bring one better than it or like it. Do you know that Allah has power over all things?" It is as if the writers expected those who would read the Quran to find contradictions. And so this passage is given to tell them what to do when they find them. They were simply to accept whatever was written later. If it was different from something earlier, it must be because Allah had changed his mind and the newer message was better. The Bible doesn't need a loophole like that. Instead of trying to provide an explanation to any possible contradiction, Jesus said, "The Scripture cannot be broken," John 10:35. How can the Bible make such a bold claim? For the same reason it contains no contradictions, even though it was written by 40 men over a span of 1,500 years. It is the only book that has been inspired by God, 2 Timothy 3:16. Because God is perfect, His Word is perfect. Number two, the Bible is the truth. This claim is made in both the Old and New Testaments. The psalmist wrote, "The sum of your word is truth," Psalm 119:160. He did not say some of God's word is truth. He said the sum or all of it is truth. Jesus prayed to the Father in John 17:17 and said, "Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth." One thing that is implied by Jesus' prayer is that there is only one truth. He prayed, "Your word is truth." He did not say God's word was a truth. It is truth. Therefore, anything that is contrary to it is false. Jesus told Pilate that he came to testify to the truth, John 18:35. The truth, not a truth. Because it is the truth, the Bible is the perfect standard by which we will be judged. Jesus said, "The word I spoke is what will judge him in the last day," John 12:48. Another consequence of God's word being the truth is that we are authorized to speak only those things that are revealed in God's word. 1 Peter 4:11 says, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God." We have no right, when we're preaching and teaching in religious matters, to speak on anything but what the Word of God says, because it is the truth. Number three, the Bible is timeless. Peter wrote, "The word of the Lord endures forever," in 1 Peter 1:25. After writing, "The sum of your word is truth," in Psalm 119:160, the psalmist added, "And every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting." As long as the earth stands, the word of God is going to endure. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away," Matthew 24:35. In spite of various attempts that have been made, God's word has not been and will not be destroyed. We can be assured that the Bible will remain until the world comes to an end. Not only is the Bible going to endure, but the message contained in it is timeless. Many claim that the Bible is irrelevant to us today, but the Bible is just as applicable today as it was when it was written. Well, why is that? It's because man has the same problems today that he did when the Bible was written. Man still needs to be saved from his sin and know how to get back into a right relationship with God. The needs are the same, and God's plan to meet those needs have not changed. But some believe the Bible was relevant or true at one time, but no longer. Muslims somewhat believe the Bible. They see Jesus as a prophet, but not the Son of God. But the Quran is, to them, the book that should be believed, and they follow it because it allegedly contains the word of the chief prophet, Muhammad. Mormons believe that the Bible contained the word of God, but has been corrupted over time. So they have a so-called Latter-day Revelation, which is the Book of Mormon. But the Bible says there will never be a new revelation. Jude instructed those to whom he wrote to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all handed down to the saints. Jude verse 3. The faith is the body of teaching that has been revealed, the word of God. Jude said this was delivered once for all, or once for all time, as the New Living Translation puts it. The Bible contained the word of God when it was written, and it contains the word of God today. Number 4, the Bible is authoritative. Before giving what we commonly call the Great Commission, Jesus told his apostles, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth," Matthew 28:18. Jesus' authority was the basis for all the preaching and teaching that was to be done by the apostles. These apostles and other inspired men were revealing the very mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. Paul described the apostles as being ambassadors for Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:20. He went on to say that it was as though God were making an appeal through us. "We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." Jesus said we are to be judged by his words, John 12:48. Paul also said that we will be judged according to my gospel, Romans 2:16. Well, how can this be if we're going to be judged by the words of Christ? And Paul said we'll be judged by his gospel. The way we harmonize this is that the words written by Paul and the other New Testament writers were from Christ. And this is what Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14:37. "The things which I write to you are the Lord's commandment." Because Christ has been given all authority and the Bible contains his words, the scriptures are authoritative. The Bible is not just something that should be followed, but is something that must be followed. Number 5, the Bible is understandable. Paul indicated that the Word of God could be understood. He told the Ephesians in Ephesians 3:4, "By referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ." That mystery to which he referred to was the will of God that had been delivered through revelation, as he talked about in the verse prior to that. He told these brethren that they could have the same understanding that he had through the readings, through reading the things that he had written. Later in the same letter, he gave this instruction, "So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is," Ephesians 5:17. God revealed his will in such a way that we can understand it. Now, many claim that we cannot understand the Bible, but remember Paul's instruction, which was also the Lord's instruction, "Understand what the will of the Lord is." Has God ever given an instruction to man that man was unable to carry out. Those who claim that we cannot understand the Bible do one of two things through this claim. They either indict God of being unfair in giving a command that we cannot obey, or they charge God as being incapable of expressing his will to the ones he created. Now, of those two, I wonder which one of those would be worse. Either way, it is assigning to God something that we should not be assigning to him. The problem is not that we cannot understand the Bible. The problem is that many will not understand. Jesus said we must first have a willing heart before we will allow ourselves to understand the truth. John 7:17, he said, if anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is from God or whether I speak for myself. But many are uninterested in doing God's will, so they do not understand God's will. Others may say we can understand the Bible, but they claim that we cannot understand the Bible alike. The idea is that we will each have our own understanding of various passages and topics. But if we do not understand the Bible alike, then we do not understand the Bible. God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14:33. The blame for all disagreements and divisions in the religious world does not belong with God, but with man. Instead of each one having their own understanding and everyone teaching different things, God's desire is that we all agree and that there be no divisions, that we have the same mind and the same judgment, 1 Corinthians 1:10. God made the Bible so that it could be understood and that we can understand the Bible alike. Number 6, the Bible reveals God's will. The Bible is inspired by God, 2 Timothy 3:16. The men who penned the words of the Bible did not decide on their own what to write. Instead, Peter said in 2 Peter 1:21 that men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. Jesus told the apostles that the Holy Spirit would come and guide them into all the truth, John 16:13. Paul said they had received the Spirit who is from God so that they would know the things freely given to them by God, 1 Corinthians 2:12. The Bible is where we need to go to find God's will today. However, many people want to go to other sources to find his will. Some people believe in the direct communication of the Holy Spirit. They speak of the Spirit revealing something to them through a dream, a vision, or some other means. They may use language that describes God as laying something on their heart, or God speaking to them, or something to that nature. But when Jesus said he would send the Holy Spirit to guide you into all truth, John 16:13, he was not speaking to all Christians. He was speaking to his apostles. They would be directly guided by the Holy Spirit into all the truth. We must believe in Christ through their word, as Jesus prayed in John 17 and verse 20. Others look to modern-day prophets, and this is similar to the idea that we are directly guided by the Holy Spirit. But this belief is that there are some who receive direct communication from the Holy Spirit, but not all Christians. These would be special prophets that would speak on behalf of God. There were certainly prophets in the first century, but the gift of prophecy would cease. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13:8, if there are gifts of prophecy, they will be done away. This would happen when the perfect comes, as he says there in verse 10. In context, the perfect has reference to the completed or the completely revealed Word of God. Since we have the Word of God that has been once for all handed down to the saints, Jude verse 3, there is no longer a need for prophecy. This gift has ceased. And many instead look to their own emotions and feelings to tell them what is pleasing to God. The problem with this is that our emotions can be deceptive. We may feel good about ourselves and still be wrong. The proverb writer said, there is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death, Proverbs 14:12. Jeremiah said, I know, O Lord, that a man's way is not in himself. It is not in a man who walks to direct his steps, Jeremiah 10:23. Paul told the Jewish council, I have lived my life with a perfectly good conscience before God up to this day. There in Acts 23 and verse 1. Paul felt good about what he was doing and throughout his life had a good conscience about what he had done. yet he had formerly acted as a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, as he told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:13. We must not allow our feelings, our emotions to guide us. We must be led by the Word of God. So in conclusion, we have noticed several characteristics about the Bible. The Bible is unique. It is unlike any book that has ever been written. The Bible is the truth. Not a truth, but the truth. The Bible is timeless, that it is just as relevant today as it was when it was written. The Bible is authoritative. It came from Christ, who has all authority, so it is not something that could be followed or should be followed, but must be followed. The Bible is understandable, that we can understand what the will of God is when we study the Scriptures. And the Bible reveals God's will. It shows us what He wants us to do. So we've noticed these characteristics of the Bible, but let us not lose sight of the big picture either. The theme of the Bible is the scheme of redemption. God's desire is for man to be saved from his sins. The gospel is the power of God for salvation, Romans 1:16. It is not enough simply to understand the truth about the Bible. We must obey the truth contained in the Bible. Thank you for listening to the Plain Bible Teaching Podcast. If you have any questions or comments, please visit plainbibleteaching.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the Plain Bible Teaching Weekly Newsletter. This free newsletter contains articles, audio, sermon outlines, current events, and more. Also, if you found this episode to be helpful, please share it with others. Next week, we're going to be talking about studying the Bible. Until then, I hope you have a great week.